الحمد لله الحمد لله والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد last night in سورة الكهف we read about اصحاب الكهف والرقيم the people of the cave wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that young group of people who existed at a time between Isa alayhi salam and the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they lived in a town where the shirk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his disobedience was being committed. So these young people, out of fear for their iman, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, decided to move away from that particular area. And when they moved away, they took refuge in a cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to enter into a sleep for a period of 309 years. In such a manner that a divine arrangement was made, such that when the sun rose in the morning and when it set in the evening, it had no effect on their bodies. And when these people rose after 309 years and they went back into the town at that time had already taken out the issues of shirk, etc. And the people were amazed by the coming of these people. And it became a great lesson and a sign of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was able to cause someone to go to sleep and He was able to raise them back again in a perfect form. In fact, at that particular time, there was a debate that was carrying on, which is a similar debate and challenge that was posed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that after we pass away, how is it possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us again and put our bodies back together? And this was a sign for the people of the time that this was something that was possible by Allah. At the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an important aspect with regards to ikhlas and riya in terms of our ibadah. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us that we should not associate any partners in our worship with Him. Ulama mentioned that this does not refer to worshipping somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather it refers to that ibadah which when we carry out for the sake of Allah, we also carry out for the pleasure of someone else. In fact, this ayah was revealed, it is reported that it was revealed with regards to one person who would go out for jihad in the path of Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, but in addition to that, he desired that he be known as a brave soldier. So because of this tainting of his ibadah, and this riya that was included in there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. And this element of riya is such that on the day of qiyamah, when we present our a'mal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there is a taint of riya in any of that ibadah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will instruct us and say that, when you carried out this ibadah, you did it for me, but in addition to me, you did it for so and so. So now, you go and ask so and so for the reward. This will be the recompense for the riyah that we have. And this ingredient of ikhlas is extremely important. Ulama mentioned that what is ikhlas? Ikhlas is that we have a desire that nobody is aware of the good deeds that we carry out. The Mufassirin have mentioned that in addition to that, sometimes we carry out an action and we do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the intention that it should be publicized. Thereafter, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that action public and somebody knows that we carry out that action, then that is from the side of Allah and that is not riya. In fact, when we talk about ikhlas, our Hazrat Rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention many times that the key ingredient in ibadah is ikhlas. He would say that we should do for Allah's pleasure and Allah will give us from His treasure. We then commenced Surah Maryam and very briefly in Surah Maryam, we read about the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. When he desired a child, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we find the etiquette of dua. He said that إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسِ That my bones have become weak and my hair has turned white. Meaning I have become extremely old. Ulama mentioned that we should present our weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are making dua to Him. That, oh Allah, I am extremely weak. Oh Allah, I am extremely sinful. Oh Allah, I am unable to do this and this. You assist me. And in addition to that, we should also enumerate the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Oh Allah, I make shukr for this. Oh Allah, I make shukr for that. This month of Ramadan is the month of dua. So it is important that we learn and we understand the etiquette of dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa mentions in a hadith that ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. That dua in itself is ibadah. Ad-du'a'u mukh al-ibadah. That dua is the essence of ibadah. And in addition to that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa mentions that man lam yas'alillah yaghdab alayh. That person who does not ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person who does not put forward his needs before Allah alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes upset with him. And we should also find that when we make the dua, ud'u Allah wa antum muqinoon bil ijaba, that we should be making the dua in such a way that we have certainty, that we have yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted our dua. One of three things happen when we make dua. Either the dua is accepted and we are granted whatever it is we ask for, or when we make the dua, some musibah, some calamity is removed from us. Or third, when we get to the akhirah, we find that that dua, the effect of that dua and the hasanat will be there for us in the akhirah. So much so that we will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, where did all of these good deeds come from? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention to us that such and such dua that you made in the dunya at this time and at that time, that dua was not accepted in the dunya. But the goodness and the effect of that is here for you in the akhirah. And it is mentioned that the person will become regretful and he will say that how I wish that none of my du'as were accepted in this dunya. And then we commenced Surah Taha. And we will terminate on this. Last night we mentioned the magnanimity of the Arabic language and the impact that it had on the hearts of the people around Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much so that it caused them to accept Islam. It is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited Surah Taha and Surah Yasin 2000 years to the Malaika before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And when he recited this to them, the Malaika responded that fortunate is that nation upon whom these surahs will be revealed. And blessed is that heart that will preserve these surahs. And blessed is that tongue that will recite these surahs. And we know the famous incident of Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, who in the time of Jahiliyyah was proceeding with his sword to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And along the way he meets Nu'aym bin Abdullah. And Nu'aym bin Abdullah asks him that, oh Umar, where are you going in this state of anger? So he says that I am going to kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nu'aym mentions to him that if you do that, you know very well that the people of Muhammad, meaning his tribe sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will exact revenge against you. So forget about that. Put your own house in order. Your sister and your brother-in-law have accepted this deen. So Umar radiallahu anhu then approaches the house of his sister Fatima radiallahu anha. And as he is approaching, Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu anhu is teaching the Quran to the husband and the wife. And when they hear Umar radiallahu an approaching, then Khabbab radiallahu an hides away. Umar radiallahu an comes in and he confronts his sister and his brother-in-law Sa'id bin Zayd. And he mentions to them that, what is this that I am hearing? And eventually they confess that they have accepted the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he begins to beat them. And eventually after seeing the blood that is exacted from his sister, he calms down and he asks to see these words. It is mentioned that Umar radiallahu an was literate. He was an educated man. So he wished to read it for himself. And his sister asks him to take a bath. And then the verses of the Quran were written on some pieces of paper or whatever it might have been. And she had concealed it when she knew he was coming in. So she presents it to him. And he reads this beautiful surah, the opening verses, Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa. And his heart begins to melt. And then he moves and he goes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he accepts Islam. And we see today that not only did he become a sahabi, but he is resting next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam till the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and implement this. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.